praise the Lord. Awesome.
Awesome, awesome.
Presence of God. Amen. The presence of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You ready to be encouraged today with some good news? The word is good news. Amen. It gives hope to the hopeless. Thank you for your word today. Well, we're going to start off saying a few things, and we're going to pray. You may have read this before, and if you look at it one way, you may think it's depressing, but life happens. And we have to learn how to overcome, and that is through the word of God. But this is something that I read every once in a while, and it's called Don't Quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is uncertain with its twists and its turns, and every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when they might have been won had they stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to faint in a faltering man. Often the struggle has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. He learned too late when the night came dawn how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. It may be nearer when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit, and when things seem worse, that you must not quit. Amen? Do not quit. Hallelujah. So, you know, life has a way of throwing curveballs at us. And sometimes those balls hit us. Amen? And when you're driving, you know, thought about this one time. You know, when you're driving and you slip off the road, the reason people wreck is because they overcorrect. And so sometimes in life when we're hit by that curveball and we find ourselves slipped off the road and we want to just get back and try to make things right again and we're just struggling, but if you'll hold on, amen, look at your neighbor and tell them to hold on, help is on the way, but if you'll just hold on to the steering wheel with a firm grip and ride it out, you will find yourself back on the road and back on track. Amen. Do you receive that today? When you feel yourself being hit by a curveball in life, don't try to overcorrect yourself and try to do it on your own, but just hold on to Jesus and let him take the wheel. Amen. And pretty soon you'll see you're back on the road headed to where you need to go. So I want to encourage you today that you are nearer to your blessing than you thought. You are nearer to your blessing than you were before. And sometimes we may feel like we're losing more than we are winning. Sometimes we feel like maybe we're losing more ground than we are gaining. And everyone has felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, so to speak, at some point or another in our life. And that's why we're going to be encouraged today. Let us pray. Father, I ask that you fill this place with your overwhelming presence, that we may all leave this place knowing that we have had an encounter with you. Fill us with absolute assurance of your love for us today, knowing that no matter what life may throw at us, you are there to help us stand. You are our present help in the time of trouble. You're the one that lifts us up. You're our great encourager. You are the I Am. And whatever we may need of you, you have already supplied. For in you we lack nothing. In you we have peace and joy evermore. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not yet come. But we have now. We have the now. In that we rest. We rest in you. And you've called us to that place of rest. And the church said amen and amen. So in the times in life that we are more discouraged than encouraged, and when quitting seems easier than continuing, where do we go? Well, Paul mentions in Scripture the encouragement of the Scriptures. So we go to the Word to be encouraged. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever," Paul says, "for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." And another translation reads, "That everything written long ago was written to teach us, so that we would have confidence through endurance and encouragement which the Scripture give us." You know, there's a scripture, the Testament, that says in the Gospels, "He that endures till the end, the same shall be saved." And a lot of people think that it's, well, if I could just endure this life, that I could just hang on, and if I could just barely get by and endure to the end, then I'll be saved and I'll go to heaven. I don't look at that scripture that way. Endurance means to hold on. Endurance means to go through. Salvation is an all-inclusive term that just doesn't mean that you're covered with the blood of Jesus and you're going to heaven. It means deliverance. It means wholeness. It means peace. He that endures till the end. He that endures what you are going through. He that holds on. He that finds comfort. He that finds peace and truth in the Word. In the end, there's peace and joy. Amen. And all those good things that God has promised today. So I want to encourage you with the truth from Scripture that will help us get through those times in life. And we are reminded again this morning of the Scripture in John 10:10, where the Word says, "The thief comes, but only to steal, kill, and destroy. But He says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full." And while it's true that the enemy wants what the enemy wants to do, it's even more truer that we know that what he steals, God makes sure that it is restored to us. Amen? Say, "I've got my stuff coming back." Amen? So a son, a daughter, as I said before, a child of God, once they begin to understand and receive that revelation of their identity in Christ, you are a force to be reckoned with. Amen? You are a supernatural. You are a supernatural superman and superwoman of God. And you can go out and take on the forces of this evil world because of who you belong to. Amen? And whose you are. And not be cowered in the corner with fear about what's happening in the world. Because I've already got the forecast, and it says we're winners. Amen? That we are winners. So knowing and receiving your identity and knowing who you are is a powerful tool to use against the enemy. Because if you don't know who you are, you're going to get whooped all over the place. You're just going to get whooped all over the place. Amen? So the enemy only attacks what he is afraid of you, what he's afraid of. So why do you think he's attacking you? Because you're packing. And once you begin to understand what you are packing, amen, you can walk woo, in a whole nother realm. But a lot of people don't even know that they're packing. You are packing. You are full of the Holy Ghost. You are an overcomer. You are a more than. And it's already been given to you. And when you begin to get into the Word and find the truth of those Scriptures, that's an encouragement to you to be encouraged. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. So if you're under attack right now, you must be doing something right, because you're closer to whatever it is you're believing for now more than ever. So this is not the time to quit, and this is not the time to throw in the towel. Because the breaker is breaking through on your behalf. And what the good news is that you don't have to do it in your own strength. He's already given you the strength, which is His strength, to do those things that He's asked you to do. So Joshua, how would you like to be in the place of Joshua? Joshua's given the task to lead the Israelites to the promised land after the death of Moses. Here was Joshua called to fill the shoes of a man that God had used to bring the Hebrew nation out of bondage. And so now God says, Joshua, you're going to lead the people into the promised land. And it's like, well, you know, you could have let him live a few years longer and I could just stayed underneath that anointing and just followed him and the rest of them into the promised land. But how many knows there's sometimes there's some dead things that have to break loose from us before we get into our promised land. But we're wanting to hold on to those things. And God said, let it go, let it die. There's something better for you than what you have now. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. So here was Joshua called to fulfill the shoes of Moses, and it was now his responsibility to claim the land that had been given to the people some 500 years earlier. And he was to continue on leading them after the death of Moses. And that was something that could be overwhelming to think about doing, and said, let's pack up our bags and let's go home. Amen. But we don't quit when God tells us to do something. Because if God calls you to do it, he's already anointed you to do it. Amen. So maybe just to be and get lost in the crowd, so to speak. But Joshua got encouraged not to quit and not to give up. And the breakthrough promised land was closer now than ever before. And where did Joshua get his encouragement? Through the word of the Lord. In Joshua 1:9, God begins to encourage Joshua. He said, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua's minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise, go over to this Jordan, you and all the people to the land that I do give you. Not that I might give you, or if you act a certain way, or if you do something, I'll give you. No, I've already given it to you. Now you go in and possess. That's part of knowing what you're packing. I've already given you everything that pertains to this life to be an overcomer. Now it's your responsibility to put action to the faith of the word that I've given you and go in and possess. Amen? So he said this, go in and possess. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given unto you. You know you have authority in this earth right now? You have dominion authority in this earth. Adam and Eve sold it out. Jesus got it back and he gave it to us. And the devil is lying to the church and saying that we don't have anything. I'll tell you what, every ground, every foot you walk in this earth, you have dominion authority over it. And when you walk, you're packing a light, the glow of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and you walk into a dark space, a dark room, my goodness, demons have to flee. You know why they don't? It's because somebody has to recognize their identity. Somebody has to realize what they're packing. Amen? Woo! So he says, he goes on, he said, I'll be with you, Joshua. I will fail you. I will forsake you. Be strong, he tells him, and of good courage. Only be strong and very courageous, verse 7. Turn, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. Why? So that you may prosper, or that you may succeed whithersoever you go. In other words, keep your eyes fixed on the prize, which is Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on the prize. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, but look straight ahead to that which God has called you to do and what God has anointed you to do. And he says, when you do, you're going to succeed in reaching. You're going to be prosperous in that thing which I have called you. Amen. So turn not. In other words, stay the course. Endure to the end. Don't quit. Keep moving. Keep moving. I heard something on TV the other day, and somebody's asked me what this word means, and I can't pronounce it right, but it's sedentary. Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah, that's it, Martha. Say it again. Yes, that means where you don't do anything. And they said that it was more dangerous than being a diabetic or having heart disease. And I began to think about that. And I began to think how that as long as we keep moving, we are more apt not to get those things or make those things better or make those things completely go away. Now, if the devil can get the people in the church to become what? Sedentary, guess what's happened? We're not moving. And guess what happens when we're not moving? We become stagnated. Woo! Let's get on the move, church. Let's get to moving. There's a land to possess. There's a county to possess. There's a nation to possess. Amen? Let's get moving. And then when we get moving as a church and as a body and begin to understand what we're packing, all those sin things that's on other people, they'll realize that what they're doing and what they're involved in is tearing their lives apart. The church needs to be on the move. And all these other things will take care of itself. Amen. That wasn't in my notes. That was a rabbit, but it was a good rabbit. Amen. This book of the law, he begins to tell Joshua, shall not depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. That you may, why do you need to do that? The book of the word. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Meditate in it day and night. To do all, to observe, to do according to all that is written. For then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. If you want to have prosper and have good success, find out what the word says. And if you begin to do what's in this word, your way will prosper and you will have good success. Amen. So we can say this to ourselves, the book of the word, I'll meditate on it. I'll see what's written in it, that my walk in life will be prosperous and I will have good success. And in verse 9, again, he tells him, have I not commanded you? Now, command is not something you ask somebody. You know, I could ask Gail, will you just please be encouraged? You're really making me depressed. Just be encouraged and. But no, he said, I command you. Gail, I command you to be encouraged. And then I tell her how to do it. Amen. He said, Gail, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's a great encouragement to know that we're not alone. Amen. That word strong occurs nearly 300 times in the Old Testament. And if I find a word is used a lot, then I want to find out why it's used a lot. So that word strong, to strengthen, to encourage, as when David encouraged himself, literally making himself strong. Strengthened by Yahweh. Psalms 27:14 tells us, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and I'll strengthen your heart. I'll encourage your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Passion Translation reads it. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Sounds like don't quit. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. Amen. The word wait in the Bible carries the idea of confident expectation and hope. So today's message is good news because there is yet hope for the discouraged. Amen. It's the good news of the word. There is hope for the ones who feel as if it's time to throw in the towel and quit. Don't you throw in that towel and quit. God's going to anoint that towel and you're going to smack it right in the devil's face. Amen. There's a word yet to somebody. Today's your breakthrough. And you're breaking out of what was into what is. And there are times in life when we need someone to step in and say to us, take courage, take heart. So maybe you're facing an overwhelming situation. Maybe you're facing an uncertain future. Maybe you're waiting on that phone call to tell you what the report is. I've come to encourage you today not to be discouraged. But your strength is found in the Lord. Your strength is found in his word, which is of truth and which is his promise to you. So be discouraged to be disconnected from courage. So what the enemy wants to do is to cause you to become discouraged. And when you are discouraged, you have no courage. Discouraged means having lost confidence or enthusiasm or become disheartened. Have you ever experienced in one of those things? You know, we are in relationship with God. And it's like a relationship with anybody else. We have to do things to keep ourselves enthused about that relationship. Like coming to church. Like being involved. And those things like that. And relating one to one with each other. Relating to God. That is what a relationship is. So it says when courage in the Bible is also good cheer. Courage in the Bible also means good cheer. When Jesus gave the command to the disciples who saw him walking on the water, the Sea of Galilee, to come toward him, the Greek word translated courage and good cheer means literally boldness and confidence. So if he has commanded you to come to him, he has already made the way for you to do it. So he says, be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Come on over here. I've already made the way for you to get to where I want you to go. In the Bible, courage is the opposite of fear. When God commands us to fear not, and there's a lot of commands here. He's not asking us to do these things. He's commanding you. Why does he command us? Because he knows that it's already done. And all you have to do is receive it, believe it, and then act upon that which he's already said. command says you need to do this because he knows the end results, and if you are obedient, what will happen when that which he has commanded you to do, you do. Don't ask me to repeat that. I don't know what I just said. So in the Bible, courage is the opposite of fear. And when God commands us not to fear, or fear not, to be of good cheer, to have courage, he's always commanding against fear, which is the opposite of courage. We talked about David a little bit a while ago, about him encouraging himself in the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, and not many of us has experienced as bad a day as David did when he returned to Ziklag after journey and discovered that the enemy had come in and destroyed or stolen everything that was important to him. And his own men, the own people that he thought was supposed to be with him and that would encourage him, got mad at him. So we can learn from David's response to do when we are facing times of discouragement. Because the scripture that I just said, that we are to encourage ourselves in the Word, and that's where we find our hope and our encouragement. At the beginning, Paul told us that in Romans, that those things the Bible were given to us aforetime, so that we know how to do what needs to be done to get encouragement. So David sat among the ruins of Ziklag. So at this point, David had a choice. He could have allowed grief and bitterness to conquer him, or he could have sinked into the black hole of depression and give up and quit. And that's the same thing with us all. When we are faced with a situation, we can quit, sit down and grieve and come depressed, or we can rise up, say, Lord, anoint my attitude. Give me an attitude of an overcomer. There's only two choices, either do it or don't do it. So, or he could fight back. But David could fight, he would have to get his strength and courage back. And you know, I just heard the Lord said, I'm raising up some fighters in this last day. I'm raising up some people that are not quitters. I'm raising up some people who says, this is what your word says, and no matter what happens, I'm going to stand on the truth of your word. You receive that today. Say, I am not a quitter, but I am a fighter, and I'm going to stand on the word of God. Amen. So David had no one to encourage him. So he had only one recourse. Sometimes you may be in a family or around co-workers. You're the only one that believes like you do. So you have to encourage, like I said, encourage yourself. And like I said in the beginning of the service, I will say of the Lord, he's my helper. Amen. So David had no one to encourage him. So he had only one recourse at that point. And 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 says, it tells us that he encouraged or strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He made himself be encouraged. There was nothing about the circumstance that was encouraging David. He had limited his focus to the present circumstance he would have went under. And that's what the enemy just wants to give you tunnel vision. That all you can see is the situation at the moment is bad. All you can see is yourself sliding off the road and overturning. All you can see is just what may happen if that happens. He just wants to give you that one view of things. God says to widen your focus. My goodness. That may be the way it is right now, says the Spirit of Grace. But the Spirit of Grace says to you today, I've got another way, and I've got a better way. Don't limit yourself unto your present circumstances. But watch me move on your behalf, says the Lord. And if you will continue in faith, if you will continue in believing what my word has already decreed and declared for you, I'm going to open doors. And they're not going to be small doors either, says God. They're going to be big doors. And behind that door, and behind those doors that I'm opening for you in this season, God says that is where your purpose is going to be found. The enemy has attacked you on the left, and the enemy has attacked you on the right and said, give up. There's no hope. There is no hope. But I've come to encourage you today, said there is hope. That hope is found in me and the truth of my word, that which I've already decreed and declared unto you. So I'm asking you today to stand upon the truth of that word, and don't be swayed to the left, don't be swayed to the right, but keep a tunnel vision of me, not a tunnel vision of what the enemy... For there's going to be a breakthrough on the left, and there's going to be a breakthrough on the right. And even as a down burst, says God, that thing that has been holding you back, that thing has pressed against you and said that you can't, it's bursting wide open, says God. And the river of my glory is going to cat kaha shahaya, ai saha tohotaya, even over this nation, says the Spirit of grace. And there's going to be revival breaking out, not in big churches, not in small churches, but in small places in the workforce. That's where, that is where I want to go, says God. I want to go into the dark crevices of the workplace so that my light will shine. And I'm calling you to do that. So be bold in your going. Be bold in your doing. Be bold in your saying. And be bold in your stand for me. And watch me break through for you, says the Lord. Woo! You need to stand right up and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Just receive that, Lord. We receive that as a word from you today, that you are breaking through for us. God says that though things may have gone asunder, even some businesses that you felt like you have lost, but God says, I'm going to restore that, and I'm going to give you some new inventions and new ideas and new ways of doing things, because it's going to be in my timing. There are things that you have done in your timing that has not worked out, and God says you have become discouraged because of that, but he says to be encouraged to know that now is my timing, and when it's my timing, you're going to see an overflow of increase, because I'm going to bring the help you need, I'm going to bring the finances you need, I'm going to bring the plan, and you're going to bring, and you're going to bring it to the table, and you're going to see yourself in a new light that says, I can do this because God says I can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We receive that today, Lord. We receive that today, Father God. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. 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 So there's nothing about the circumstance that David was in that was encouraging. And don't let yourself have a tunnel vision of just where you're at the moment. And in times of uncertainty and upheaval, God was David's constant. And we've got to remember that in the times in our life when family forsake us and friends forsake us, everybody forsake us, we've got to know that God is our constant in life. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. He said, I'll be there in the middle of the night, and I'll be there in the early morning, and I'll be there in the midday. All you've got to do is hold my hand and watch me do what you thought was impossible. Glory to God. Woo! Because God doesn't change. And David, his focus, so that by the eye of faith, he could behold El Shaddai, the Almighty God. And we cannot make God any bigger than he already is. See, my praise don't make God any bigger. God can't get no bigger than what he is. He is already supreme. He is already who he is. My praise takes what those things around me that wants to blind me and wants me to cause to have that tunnel vision. Those are the things that make me want to keep things in my perspective. But it takes those things, the perspective has to get out of the way when I begin to praise. And then I begin to see God high and lifted up in the temple. Amen. But you magnify or diminish your perspective of God when you begin to praise him. And perspective has everything to do with whether you are encouraged or discouraged. Hallelujah. When you look at that circumstance, what do you see? I see God working right in the middle of it. I see God working it out. In Psalms 42, David talked to his soul, his mind, his will, and emotion. And we're in that position, sometimes we have to talk to ourselves. And David said in 42:5 Psalms, why are you cast down, old soul? So sometimes we have to say, well, now why are you discouraged? Why are you acting that way? So David said, why are you cast down, old my soul? And why are you disquieted with you? Why have you got quiet? Why isn't there some praise coming out of you? Just lay your hands on your belly and just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Why are you disquieted in me? Hope you in God. And he says, for I'll yet praise him for the hope, for the help of his countenance. So David had to encourage himself in the Lord. He had to do it himself, church. Can't nobody do you praise for you. Can't nobody do you sing for you. Those are two things that you have to do yourself. Amen. So that term cast down that David used, we have to go back and realize why David used that word cast down. Because David was a shepherd. Amen. A cast sheep is one that is unable to get up, back up on his legs. So when you are down, you cannot find the strength to get up unless it's found in the Lord. If the shepherd doesn't find the sheep and help get it back on its feet, the sheep will die. But I've come to tell you this morning, God's found you. There, David says, there's no place that I can hide from, depths of the earth or anywhere. I can't get away from him because he's all over me. He's in me, he's around me, he's on my hands. Hallelujah. So he says, why are you disquieted within you? And David says that his soul is like a cast sheep. He talks to his soul, telling it to get back up on its feet again, to hope in God and to praise him. And then David prayed. Then David talked to God, not to try to get God to do something, but to come into agreement with God and say, hey, I'm down here, God, and this is what I'm believing for. So 1 Samuel 30 says, 7 through 8 says, so David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them and without fail cover all. And when you're in that circumstance and you feel yourself coming out of it, and God says, okay, now you begin to say, okay, God, now what do you want me to do? He'll say, just stay quiet a little longer. Just stay hidden in the background a little longer. I'm still working on some stuff. And at the time I tell you, you go, you pursue, and you take all, because timing is everything in God. Amen. Timing is everything. So don't quit now. Hallelujah. You are in a season of recovery. I've heard the Spirit of the Lord say, you are in a season of recovery. And this was the turning point in David's recovery, because David had already been anointed king when he was a lad tending sheep. You've already been anointed, but it may take you a while to understand that and get to that place where you begin to walk in that purpose. Amen. So David was just in a season of training. You know, everything comes in our lives. We're being trained. We're being trained as a disciple of the Lord. So this was the turning point in David's recovery. So David went as the Lord commanded. David went as the Lord had commanded, and he pursued. God gave his word, and David acted on that which God told him. He could have looked at the negatives and said, I don't think this plan's going to work, God. Have you ever argued with God and told him why things couldn't work? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I have, and I find myself doing that error because I ain't got it all delivered yet, people. Amen? I ain't arrived yet. Amen? So if God tells you something, don't argue with him, even if it don't make sense. And I'll guarantee you there's a lot of things God's going to tell you to do, say, and go that don't make no sense, because if it did, you'd go in your own strength. And that which is birthed in the flesh has got to be maintained by the flesh, and that's when you'll end up quitting. But that which is birthed by the Spirit of the Lord, it can be maintained by the Spirit. And that is where the strength is at. So he could look at all the negatives and said, I don't think this plan's going to work. Everybody's mad at me. I've lost my stronghold. I've lost my family. I've lost all the men that they're with me. This is a great opportunity for him to quit. But David didn't do that. He pursued the enemy. And because of that action on the word that God gave him, it says he recovered all. So David recovered, verse 19, all that the Amalekites' enemy had carried away, and nothing of theirs was lacking, or anything which they had taken from David, from them, for David recovered all. There was always a warfare attached to our recovery. David stepped out, and the warfare is just simply praise. Warfare is just simply getting into the Word and saying, this is what your Word says about the situation. There will always be warfare attached to our recovery. You know, sometimes we can't be passive. We have to be active and go after what God has said, because our flesh and the world and the things around us don't want us pursuing the things of God. So David stepped out on the Word of God, focused on the promises of God, and God began to move on his behalf. God led them right into the enemy's camp. God is raising up an army of men and women who will learn how to pursue, advance on the enemy, and take back everything, because we're not being quiet any longer. Like I said before, Laverne Nimmer said it, there's a line being drawn. Which side are you on? And so, you know, sometimes I was thinking about Pastor and the things the enemy has attacked his body with over the years. And I'm sure there are times when he could have said, you know, let's just quit this. Let's just go on to heaven, you know. But he endured to the end, and he was delivered. Praise God. And so I'm reminded of a song. Do you have any rivers you think are uncrossable? Do you have any mountains you think you cannot tunnel? Through God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things that others cannot do. Don't let your dependence be on the arm of flesh. Don't let your encouragement be on somebody else. You encourage yourself with the Lord. And at times when everything says quit, remember the river that seemed uncrossable. The mountain in front of you, God has gone before you. He specializes in things thought impossible. He does what others and yourself cannot do. So stand in faith, and just as God told Joshua, I tell you today, be strong, be vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Don't quit. Be encouraged, because your blessing is closer than you think. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes for a few moments, and let's just see what the Lord wants to do in the remainder of the service, or if he wants us just to depart ways. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word today, your word of encouragement that has encouraged us. And we just stand back and watch you move in our lives and those things that we're believing for. If you have a prayer request on your heart today, just lift your hands. Thank you, Father God. I pray for that one that has their hand lifted right now in the name of Jesus. You know the situation. You know the need. You know the cry of their heart. I thank you, Lord, that you have already provided the answer. And they are going to see the situation just completely reversed to what has been said. And I just speak peace over every situation in the name of Jesus. The God that is more than enough is taking care of it. Just rest in him. Rest in him, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you for your word again. I thank you for those that you set before in this congregation today, Lord, that they are not going to leave like they've came, in Jesus' name. But you have pursued them, you have overtaken them, and you are bringing into their hands everything they need to accomplish their purpose in this earth. I speak your abundant blessings over them, that they're blessed and they're highly favored of God. That you are just making a way where there seemeth to be no way. Where others says they can't, you says they can't. You say they can. And I thank you for your word that we're the head and not the tail. That we're highly favored by you. And that you have anointed us to go out into the darkness of this world and make a difference. And wherever our foot treads, Lord, we have dominion over that in the name of Jesus. And everything that we need has been accomplished at Calvary. And we don't do anything in our own strength, but our strength comes through you. Our ability comes through you, from you. Our provision comes from you. Our healing comes from you. And we thank you that it's already accomplished. In the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen and amen. Be blessed. Go out and make a difference in somebody's life this week.